You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
We're going to draw some perspective. We're going to draw a road and some phone poles and a building going into the distance with some mountains and shadows and all that kind of stuff. We're going to do it really fast. You can't do perspective without a horizon that you're looking into the distance at.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're discussing purpose. What role has purpose played in your life? Later on in the hour, we have Chef Dean Max joining us to talk about purpose with his life, how he got to where he is, and why he's the chef in so many places. But you know, I was thinking about purpose in my own life and what it really means to me. And you know, when I look back at my life, I remember being young and being told what to do. I remember like following my family and going to elementary school and going to middle school and waking up early in the morning, my mom waking me up. And, you know, going to high school and your mom wakes you up and gets you to school or you take the bus, you know, and then you decide to go to college. And I made some major changes in college. And, you know, there were times when I got a little off my path, you know. And I remember looking back at some of those times, some with great nostalgia and other with just, you know, wanting to kick my own butt because I knew that I had taken several years off of where my purpose was driven to. But I think at the time I had to go through some of those trials and tribulations in order to really figure out what I'm here for. Because I think if I would have just gone and stuck with the steadfast concept of where I was going from middle school, elementary, middle school, high school, and then if I would have continued on that track, I don't really know if I would have really been me at that point. Bill, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing a little so-so.
You okay there?
Well,
I know you got the sniffles.
Yeah, I'm battling some allergies today. So
allergies.
Yeah, you know, I went.
Are you winning?
I'm winning. Okay. Yes, I'm feeling better today than I have been the past couple of days. But
Bill's winning.
I am, but yeah. So I went on a camping trip with a girlfriend and her family, and I think I came back, you know, with something, you know. So, but I'm feeling better today. But I've still got a little scratchy throat. So I hate to break the hearts of all our listeners around the world, but I think I'll limit my contribution to Behind the Glass tonight. But still, you know. So you asked about purpose. My purpose is to get better physically.
Your immediate purpose, right?
Yes.
There's short-term and long-term goals associated with purpose.
No, you're
and
tougher
I agree.
Than me, man. I'd be at home in a fetal position with a blanket and my six socks.
You know what they say in show business? The show must go on.
Must go on.
So
six socks.
Six socks.
And besides, I've seen you actually try to do this by yourself in the past, and no bueno. So
what do you mean? What was that about? That was a cut. What was that? What was that? How much of this daytime NyQuil or DayQuil have you been taking here?
You know exactly what I'm talking about, so don't even
You know
there.
Exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter. Did you see the hazard pay? I'm going to start deriving some hazard pay from you, Bill.
Well, I get it from you, so I might as well just...
I want some of that DayQuil. I don't know what I'd be saying.
DayQuil
right
is good stuff.
Is it good?
DayQuil is good stuff.
Give me some of that little bit over ice and some water.
There
maybe
you go.
A twist of lime.
There you go.
Eric, how you doing tonight?
You know, I'm wondering what happens if you take DayQuil and NyQuil at the same time.
Somewhere in the middle.
Quill. Somewhere in the middle. You're just Quill. I'm Quill.
Actually, you know, I don't know. I mean, it'll knock you out, but it'll also clear up your congestion really fast.
Interesting.
It'll be like drinking coffee and being asleep, probably.
Yes, that's it.
And therein lies my purpose. No, I'm kidding. Ashley, I am so glad to be here, glad about our topic, and really excited about the guest that we have as well, because I am a foodie, and I think foodiness may be my purpose.
Foodiness. I like foodiness.
Yeah.
Oh, Tofudi, where are you, Tofudi? Oh, you said foodie. Sorry. Okay, yeah. So
no, and you accuse me of being on DayQuil. Well, what's the matter with you? What's
your excuse? I'm just trying to fit in, okay? It's hard around here. I'm just trying to fit in with the cool kids. That's all I have to say about that. No, so, I mean, think about that. Like, I remember I went through a time period where I kind of went off my path, but I don't really know if I was really going off my path. And I listen to a lot of clients, you know, for everybody that's listening, if you don't already know, I am a therapist. I'm also a licensed counselor and a life coach as well. So I get to hear a lot of things mostly every day. And a lot of times people are very frustrated with turns that their life has taken. And they get very angry, like, I wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have done that, and how it's really ruined their life. And I really have sat back in my own life and sat there and looked at things that I've done. And at first, I felt like I was behind the eight ball. At first, I felt like I couldn't believe that I made those rookie mistakes. And then now when I look back at a lot of those, I really don't regret any of it. And there was a good few years after I regretted it, because I thought, you know, if I wouldn't have done that, I would have been 4 years ahead of the game. I would have been here. But would I really been ahead of the game? Or is that just my mind creating some sort of reality that doesn't really exist? And I think a lot of people listening tonight, you might not have found your exact purpose, or you have, you don't know how to start moving toward it. Or you feel like you have so much baggage that it's really hard to get to it. But I think you got to start moving in a direction now. I think this is where we're going with tonight's show, is that you might feel one way, but you have a lifetime. And I think we sometimes underestimate how many years a lifetime is. Like, we think, oh, we're 40 years old, it's over with, might as well just, you know, get the sick socks on all the time, you know, and lay there and watch maybe, you know, Sally Jesse Raphael or something on TV and talk about how our life really just let us down. Or on the flip side, we can realize if we're lucky, we might live to 100. So what if we're actually dedicated to our purpose for those years?
Yeah, no, I agree, Ashley. This is one of my favorite topics. And, you know, people use the word like mistakes or errors and those kinds of things. And I, too, Ashley, did a bunch of crazy stuff in college. But I think, you know, that's part of the journey. And Miles Davis is one of my favorite people of like all time ever. And there's a quote that I have in my office, and it says, do not fear mistakes. There are none. And that's kind of, you know, what it's about. Don't be afraid to make mistakes, because through those mistakes, you may find a new path or an elevated view of what your purpose might be. I am still looking for mine, but I got a good idea that part of it has to do with helping people. And so anything that has to do with helping people, this show in particular, are things that I migrate to, because I think the essence of me somewhere deep down is about helping people.
I like that, and I agree with that, too. I think a lot of times we find our purpose through our mistakes.
Very much.
And I think maybe our mistakes really aren't necessarily mistakes.
Well,
you know, I think that they're actually set up by maybe our subconscious, or we've set them up to be in our path to make those, in quote, mistakes.
You know, Ashley, I agree with you. I think that a lot of times you can learn more from your mistakes than you do from your successes. And also, you know, a lot of people, I think, get in the trap of being frozen and afraid to do anything for fear of making mistakes, you know, because somebody along the way, you know, basically took the sledgehammer to them, you know, oh, you made a mistake, you know, and whatnot. And nobody ever got ahead by not making mistakes, because in order to make a mistake, you actually have to put yourself out there.
Yeah. No, I agree. One of the things to that point, that's a great point, Bill. You know, having kids and my son in particular, whenever he makes, and we'll just use the term mistake, or whenever he doesn't do something as well as he thinks that he should or possibly could have, those become teaching moments. And so I use those as teaching moments for him, and he comes out better for it. And it's kind of the same thing as individuals when we, you know, go off the road, you know, reflect on it, look at it, you know, and kind of move on, because I think it makes you stronger. It makes you a little bit more aware. And I think it illuminates the road a little bit better as you go on your journey.
I agree with that. And I think it's very interesting. I just think that purpose is so important. And I think it's like really serves such a role in people's lives. And for what I know, you know, some people try to avoid their purpose. I know that. Yeah. I mean, because it means you have to step up. You have to do something. You have to put yourself out there, you know?
You know, and actually, of course, as always, we are live on Facebook and Twitter tonight. And I'm very interested in our listeners, you know. Are you afraid to make mistakes? What's the last mistake you made? You know, what's your theory on that? Joining in the conversation.
Yeah, and talk a little bit about your purpose and how you've come in proximity with your own personal purpose. Other people can feed off of that.
Yes.
And you're right, Ashley. Purpose is, you know, I'm of the opinion, and I've read a lot of different texts, you know, read the Bible a lot, you know, a lot of philosophers. Each and everything in the universe was created for a specific reason. I know Bill and I talk about this a lot, you know, with my nerdy physics self, but everything in this universe was constructed, conceived, and imagined for a specific reason. And we as human beings, being a part of this universe, are no different at all.
I agree with that. And I think if you go like a step further with that, it is all about finding your true calling, finding yourself. And I think, like you were saying, it's all about kind of, I think we're all here for a reason. I think we created these reasons, and I think that it kind of always kind of goes down a kind of a cute little path. Maybe if you got to see the tapestry being made and you weren't just seeing that one part of the quilt that's being done. I think sometimes we have this tunnel vision where all we can see is what's right in front of us, what's giving us the most problems right now, mm-hmm. what drama am I dealing with, what am I trying to overcome right now instead of the big picture. And I think we don't realize that a lot of times what we're trying to overcome or the things that we're wanting to change in our life are really giving openness to what's going to end up being the big player in our life. And so joining us here in the next segment, Chef Dean Max is going to be talking about he's going to be talking about why and how he became a chef and kind of his background. And when we started talking a while back when we met, I asked him a little bit about his childhood, and he was talking about how his dad was a produce broker. And, you know, his dad before that was a farmer, and how he was been raised around this whole life. And he kind of tried to go against it and go into business school and do that. But he came back around and he's a chef. And it really shows you that when you know what you really want to do and you really have true focus, you can create anything. So stay tuned, because we'll be back here talking more about purpose and how purpose plays a valuable role in everyone's lives. Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing something that's near and dear to my heart. We're discussing purpose. The role that purpose serves in most of our lives. I think that when you finally figure out things, you kind of get it together. You realize what you want to do in life, and it kind of comes full circle. And I thought a really good idea was to bring someone on the show that seems to have it together, that purpose obviously plays a huge part in their life, and it shows in their work. So joining us tonight on Perspectives is Chef Dean Max. Dean, good to have you tonight.
Hey, it's great to be here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to chat today and talk about purpose.
Purpose is awesome.
Right?
Purpose is key. It's categorical. It's categorically key. God bless us all. No, so when we met the first time a few weeks ago, I remember we were talking about your childhood, and it was pretty cool because you told me that your dad was a produce broker, actually a farmer before that, and then a produce broker. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, I kind of always think that I was kind of grew up to be a chef because I had this perfect environment of kind of growing up on a farm, and then my grandfather was a chef. So I had this kind of natural instinct and love for food. But then I grew up in a family that cooked a lot too. And then we had, growing up in this farm environment, you really have this kind of touch and relationship with food. And what I mean by that, it's kind of like, you know, we spent a lot of time out on the farm. You're like, even like when you're out in a tomato field or you're like cultivating something, just the smells and those tastes of being on a farm really kind of stay with you. And even sitting out back and like shelling peas with my mom and brothers and sisters and that kind of thing, those are kind of things you learn, the love of the preparation of food. And I think it's really what makes a successful chef. As well as, you know, as a teenager, my dad went from being a farmer to being a produce broker, which at that point, I kind of cruised around for my dad in the summers and would do anything from pack produce at a packing house, or I also looked at the quality of produce at different farms. So it's kind of always around that environment of quality product. And I didn't start out that way. I really, I kind of was geared up to kind of maybe go into business and maybe even take over my dad's company, which was more of a lot of really about numbers and finance, and about brokerage was really about buying and selling. And so for me, it was kind of a big step, you know, to kind of say, hey, I really love to cook and I spend a lot of time cooking, but am I going to be able to make the lifestyle that I want out of this job, you know? Yeah.
Dean, that is awesome. I just keep saying it. I've said it ever since you walked into the studio. I'm a foodie, and there's no better place I'd rather be today than in the studio with you. You know, you talked a little bit about growing up on a farm, and that's something that we talk about a lot on this show, how a lot of people have lost touch with
the organic nature of life. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, what that feels like, your process of selecting certain produce or selecting certain elements that ultimately become these award-winning dishes that you create. What's that process like? What do you look for when you're looking for produce and the things that ultimately are going to be on the plates of your consumers?
You know, I think when it's kind of interesting because, like, as a young chef, you're trying to really make a name for yourself, and you kind of are looking to do something really crazy and different. And as you kind of mature as a chef a little bit, you grow up and you realize that serving simple products that people can relate to the flavors of was really an important thing. So for me, you know, I kind of didn't use it till I think later in my career that quality base of what I learned as a child, mm-hmm. even growing up and being able to taste a tomato. I mean, even when you walk down a tomato field and you brush up against a plant, I can smell like a tomato plant. It brings back memories of my brother and awesome. I like running through the field together and chasing each other and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's a memory thing for me too. And I think it is for a lot of people, the connection with food. And then this freshness piece, it really defines your cuisine. And we're seeing that more and more now. It's like right now, this whole farm to table trend is so, you know, popular, but it's really not, a trend. We're just kind of citing it now because I think a lot of us lost sight of that as we went through a period of time where people kind of made food more, you know, productive, mm-hmm. To either travel or to get to market fast. And so all the growth hormones and animals that you see and the steroids used there and all of the different fertilizers used on plants and stuff that, you know, it was an experimental stage, right? And we're kind of living the repercussions of that now. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody wants to get back to a more natural state. And that's what I'm seeing, you know, having restaurants all over the country. I see a lot of different people's mentality on that. So quality is key. And I was lucky enough to really be able to get a sound base of what that was all about as a child. So it's helped.
Sure. I can smell the tomatoes now, Ashley.
I can too. I want to go play hide and go seek though in the fields. I think that's kind of fun.
It is fun.
So let's go from being organic.
Hide and go eat.
Yeah, hide and go eat. Hide and go eat. You're starving over here. I can tell. Everything's about food. You know, let's go from organic to the opposite of what organic would be. Let's talk about these cooking shows we see on TV, the reality shows.
Those
they are
never organic.
And how painful they seem. I mean, everybody's fighting and there's anger amongst them and there's dun-dun-dun, so-and-so's cut, you know? And you see all these crazy chef shows. Is any of that somewhat reality?
I would say not really, no. And, you know, the excitement of food is fun and the competition of it, you don't see really in restaurants that much, especially the quick competition like that. And actually some of the earlier shows I used to get, there was a couple chefs on, I won't say names, but there was a couple chefs on them.
Name names, point fingers.
But no, because I respected these chefs and I kind of maybe they might have been like 8-10 years older than me somebody that I was looking at the height of their career as when I was first starting as a cook and really looked at them. And then when I saw them go on these shows and really how the kind of producers made them do things that was outside of their realm and made them just look bad. I just thought it was bad. Now everybody knows, you know, I guess all good media is, all even bad media is good media, right? And that's why they go on there, because no matter what, they're getting press. And so they love it, and their restaurants are doing great after they go on there, no matter how bad it looks. But to me, it's like, it's not organic at all. And it's not a natural feel. I, you know, personally, I love, there are shows that I love. I'm not the reality ones though. Not at all. These competition shows, they just like are crazy for me. There are some, I love watching, I love watching Munchies, and it's online. I go on to Vice to see that. And it's, well, what I like about it is called Chef's Night Out. Have you ever seen that one?
No, I haven't.
It's really cool. And basically they go and they take like a really well-known chefs in certain areas and they go and look at what they're doing in their restaurant. And then those chefs go out to their favorite restaurants that night. And it's really kind of a cool concept, because not only that you get to see what they do, you get to see what their favorite restaurants. And they might not be really fancy, but they're cool spots, and they take their staff out. And it's really kind of fun to see. So if you really love food and you love to see how food, the thought process and all of those pieces, it's a great show. If you want to see drama, you know, it's the same as watching the Kardashians, you know.
God, no.
And so...
The Kardashians, God bless. That has nothing to do with organic or food.
That has
not, no.
No, but I understand what you're saying. I like to see people in their natural habitat. You know, yeah. I like restaurants for the food. I like the comfort. I like the personality. Mm-hmm. I like going in and being treated well. You know, if you go to someplace over and over again, it's nice to be treated as a VIP. And mm-hmm. I think even like a small appetizer or even a drink goes really far in executing that, you know, from heart to reality, how I feel.
Yeah.
I do feel like recently a lot of restaurants don't do that. I think that people actually kind of would rather just, you know, deal with the cattle call and not even deal with having, you know, perpetual long-term clientele.
Yeah, one of the things I like, Ashley, is when I go to a restaurant and the chef actually comes out. He comes out and he shakes your hand and he leans over and he says, you know, how's your meal? Did you enjoy that? What did you order? Whatever it might be. And that adds to that personal touch, and that adds again to, I think, a level of authenticity about the craft that is being a chef.
It's not only that, it's a connection with, like, it's a connection. Restaurants are a gathering place. You go, it makes a difference. You know, one of my first flagship restaurants in Fort Lauderdale was in a resort hotel, and we had after about 4 years got about 70% local customers coming there. And you guys know what it's like to go to a hotel to dine, and which in here in Dallas I'm in a hotel as well. So people feel like, well, I'm not really staying there. Do I really belong going there? And then you're kind of this outsider, right? So it's super important in that environment to really give that restaurant feel of like what it's true street restaurants about, being a neighborhood. You go in, you know, you see the you know, the owner or maybe the chef, and they know you, or the certain servers know you, and you feel a connection with the place. And that's what I personally love. And I did that at that restaurant, not because I knew that would get business, because that's what's really passionate for me about the business is the connection with the people. You know, people come in, you want them to taste this cool food that you're making, and then you want their feedback on it. And when there are people that come back often for that, and they share their experiences with you, you enjoy that, and they become your friends. And that's what really makes the restaurant business unique.
I like that. When we return, we'll be talking about more about what Chef Dean Max is working on now, where he's at, and where you can find one of his restaurants, as well as just a little bit more about purpose and how this has directed his life. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing purpose. What role does purpose play in our life? You know, and I thought, you know, no better than to talk about purpose is a chef that I respect, Chef Dean Max. And I think when we first talked back a few weeks ago, I really was really quite interested, because it's almost like the concept. I think we've all had teachers that hate to teach, like they really hate kids. But they teach, and they go, I really just hate those kids. They're such jerks, you know? And you listen to them, and you go, why do you teach? You know,
talk
go,
to my teachers?
Yeah. And they go, I teach because I do, because it's part of me. That's what I do. That's my life. And I go, but you don't like kids. They're like, yeah, that's pretty much true. But if you look at the flip side, it's kind of like, it would be great if you taught and you loved the kids. Just like it would be great if you cooked and you kind of cherish the food, and it was an authentic experience. And I think in the last segment, when you were talking about being able to smell the varietals of tomatoes as you're walking by, I mean, and we're not talking about you smelling it at the grocery store. This is like authentic. To me, that makes me want you to, I'm appreciative if you cook food, because I think it's all about what mom used to say, they put love into it, right? And I think that's the difference between a lot of food nowadays, is you get this fast food market, or you get people that don't really like to do it, or you get those people that really do love doing it, and you can actually taste the difference, I think.
No, for sure. And it's a big issue too. You know, there's so many people who love the idea, like of getting into being a chef now, because of the popularity you see on TV. And I think that they just don't have the love for the food piece. And I see it too. Kids go to culinary school, they get out and they come and they work for us in the kitchen, and then they realize all of a sudden this is hard work, because they're actually viewing that work as hard because they don't enjoy doing it. And I think one thing, like when you're actually, if you have a relationship with the food where you really enjoy, I mean, there's nothing better than like going to the restaurant and having 100 pounds of fish there and turning the music on and during the day, and there's not a lot of stress around, and just cutting fish. And that just, for me, is a super, you know, relaxing and kind of healthy thing to do, and I love it. And so making food for me has never been hard, and it's really one of the things I, when I decided I wanted to be a chef, I mean, I had other options, and I was working as a broker with my dad. I could have easily taken over his company, but I was coming home and I'd go and cook for 5 hours. So that's really what I wanted to do, and was lucky enough to make that decision to step forward to that. And I think when you talk about purpose, one of the things with purpose, I think focus is a big thing. Once you know what you want to do, you can achieve great things pretty quick because you're just focused in on it at that point. So many people kind of flounder around trying to figure out what they want to do, and it just wastes so much time. So I was really, I think, lucky at that age to like say, this is what I love, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to focus every bit of time doing that. And it really, it gets you places faster.
I agree with that, because I think sometimes we don't focus on one thing. And I am kind of one of those people that I want to do a lot of different things, you know? I mean, you know, I eliminated the fact that I don't want to be a drummer anymore. So I've allowed that to go, right?
You still do it at home, right? Randomly?
I never got a drum set, but I thought about it. You know, I always dream big, you know? I always strum on the guitar, but I'm not that good. You know, I was a great piano student, and then I was a great violinist, but I gave all that up for fast pitch softball because I thought that was going to be my career back in the day. My career. That wasn't a career for girls, my God. Anyway, so, you know, fast forward, and now I know really what I want to do, but I have like so many different dimensions of that. And so let's talk about that in your realm, Dean, because I know that you have a cookbook out as well. How do you really find the time to write? And then also, because I'm a writer too, I'm finishing my fourth book right now. And how do you find the time to basically, I have a practice, so to me, I feel like your restaurants are your practice. How do you have time to do that and do the books and do all this stuff and still have that same drive and focus to keep going?
I don't know. I think I have just a lot of energy, and I love what I do, so it never feels like I'm working. I really never feel like I'm working, and which is a good thing. And I have, like, I've been wanting to, like, do even more books, and I think I am slowly, as I'm getting more and more restaurants, I'm getting less ability to do more, you know, books. But I think the first book, I had three restaurants at that time, and I had time where I people would ask me a lot of questions in the restaurant, and I wanted to answer those. It's actually a book called Life by the Sea. So it's a lot about growing up by the ocean, my passion for seafood. And, you know, my first kind of flagship restaurant was, based around a lot of seafood, and people like have problems cooking seafood. People are really scared of cooking seafood. So it was really about demystifying that challenge of cooking seafood that I wanted to cover in this book. So I did over 50 varieties of seafood in there and really talked about, and then I just kind of meld into different things like how to pair seafood with you know, different vegetables, and talked about balance and all of those things. So there was a lot I wanted to say, and I kind of knew that, so it was easy for me to kind of put it together fairly quickly. The process of doing a book with a cookbook is really, you know, it's not that easy, because you want to select the perfect pictures, and there's a lot of stylizing that goes into place, and so it is a lot of work for sure.
I like your title. I'm glad he didn't title it Seafood for Dummies.
Seafood for Dummies, yeah.
Seafood for Idiots that don't know how to cook anything and get scared.
They get scared.
Okay, like the whole idea of the lobster being alive and putting it in a pot. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, I know a lot of people
they're
that
like,
just go,
does it scream?
Can't
really?
Do it. Yeah, I mean, they're like, funny. You know what? Let's just let it out. Let's just let it out in the backyard. It'll be fine, you know? It'll find its home. It'll find its mate. You know, it's like when you were a kid at like a crawfish boil, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember I was one of those kids that would try to save a few of the live crawfish, you know, and like, send it to safety, even though, like, how safe
they died,
you know, in Bermuda grass. I mean, how safe is it? You know, it's not going to be that safe.
Is
that, you know,
your God complex? You just want to save
the world.
Oh, now you're bringing it out. Put me on the couch, aren't you?
Save
already.
The crawdads, man. So
save them.
Dean, I had an opportunity to, I've had a chance to be around a lot of artists, a lot of folks who've done great things in their life, and Gordon Parks is one of my heroes. He's a film director, he's a photographer for Time Life magazine in the 50s. A musician and all of that. And one of the questions that I asked him was, out of all the things that you do, the writing, the music, the directing, and all of that, what speaks to your soul the most?
And he was another one of those kinds of folks. He lived to be, you know, 70 plus, 80 plus years still working, and he always had energy like you. So what speaks to your soul the most? Is it the preparation of food? Is it watching people enjoy your food? Is it the writing? Is it the creative process? But what speaks to your soul the most in your endeavors?
It's definitely sharing the flavor of food. I think people, when people taste food, that's when it's like, that's a hit right there. Wow. Even the visual is an important piece, but I think when people taste something, put something in their mouth, they taste that food, it really sends them into a different zone. And making people happy like that, that's really the best part about my job, is the fact that, you know, when people come to a restaurant, usually they're there to have a good time, and that's a part of their day they want to enjoy. So if you set the tone right and you keep them moving in the right direction, they're there to have a fun time, and they're not there to pay a parking ticket. And so for me, that part, the artistic part of that, one is creating food, creating a combination that really drives it home, whether it's something new and something you just dreamt up that might work and it actually did come out to work very well, and sharing that with people, or whether it was this classic combination of something that we've all tasted before, but, you know, just like a roasted chicken with, you know, these perfect mashed potatoes, you know, that kind of thing. It just doing it in such a perfect way with this amazing organic chicken and this, you know, these really velvety smooth potatoes and so, you know, putting together a combination that just blows people away. I mean, I think that's where you get that's where I get my excitement and energy, is giving people that taste. There's other pieces of the business that, like the farm to table piece for me, I work with a lot of small farms and small producers.
Awesome,
and
awesome.
So sharing their products with people and watching them grow is really unique. It's also exposing people. Like, I have restaurants in some of the islands, in the Cayman Islands and the Bahamas as well. And so when people come down there, I've never been to those areas, sharing like fruits and seafood down there and things that they've never tasted in the States, and combinations or flavor things that they've never had before, that's really special too. And I mean, that was big for me. I remember, you know, I lived in Italy when I was a young guy and traveling around, and I loved food at that time. And I remember going over there and tasting risotto for the first time.
Oh.
And, you know, it was before they made risotto. You know, only Italian restaurants in the States were making, like, you know, pasta with, you know, meatballs.
Tomato sauce.
Yeah, tomato sauce. That's what it was. Yeah. That was Italian. Sure. You didn't have risotto. And when I tasted that risotto the first time, I was like, wow, what is this, you know? And so really, you know, culture, you know, exposing people to like things they've never tasted is always really, you know, a great treat, you know?
Awesome. Awesome.
That's really awesome. That's so cool. I mean, I've learned a lot already, I think, tonight. I mean, this is pretty good. I mean, because I do think that it's all about what you eat too, that helps with your authentic, healthy lifestyle.
I
mean, you know, what you're putting in your body is important to what's coming out.
For sure.
Who you are and how you can live on a day-to-day basis. I look forward to learning more. So I would really like you to come back on another episode of Perspectives when you get a chance.
I'd love to. I'd love to do it. Thanks for having me.
It's pretty awesome. So you have restaurants all over, right? You have how many at this time?
I have 9. So I'm all over from the West Coast all the way in Southern California and Long Beach. It's a great location down there.
Cool.
And then to Texas, Ohio, Connecticut, Florida, Cayman, and Bahamas.
Wow, so. I think I'll have to take a junket out to one of those places.
And I think we've got listeners in all those places. I think so. A lot of them listening right now. So
a blast. Well, thank you, Dean, for coming on and sharing with us your concept and what I believe, too, to be purpose-driven life. I think it's awesome.
Dean, really appreciate you, man. Appreciate what you're doing, and also appreciate what you're doing for the local farmers, man. That's huge.
It is. I mean, I love doing it, and I loved being here, and it was great talking to you guys today.
Made my day.
Made mine too.
Thanks.
So stay tuned. We got more here on Perspectives, and Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in 2 shakes.
I could lift you up. I could show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
I like Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, but I prohibit my workers from listening to it.
Welcome live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And, you know, we've been talking about purpose tonight. And after talking with Dean Max, it makes a lot of sense. It's about what you love. It's what you're passionate about. And, you know, I think that we need to really talk about the three things that you can do to jumpstart your purpose. And before we get into those three things, you know, just a reminder, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on Facebook, we're on Ashley Burgess as well as that on Twitter. And don't forget, if you've missed any of the past shows that you want to hear again, or you think a family member or a friend really needs to hear it, go on to iTunes and go to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, as well as go to Spreaker with Ashley Burgess Perspectives, and you can hear our latest, greatest shows.
And you'll get to hear me when I'm not hucking up a lung.
And what are we not on? What are we not on? We're on everything.
We're on everything.
I'm high on life.
Yes.
You know, Ashley, you gave me a great idea. The holiday season's here, and I think I may give the gift of perspectives. I'll send links to all of my relatives who can benefit from some of the shows that we've done.
That's awesome.
Which is all of them, right?
Which is all of them. And so for you listeners out there, think about that. If you want to give the ultimate gift, give the gift of perspective. Make sure you wrap it in a nice bow, though.
And maybe put some money in the card.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe give a gift
as a bribe. You know, here, listen to this, and I'll pay you.
That'd be awesome if you had like active links on Christmas cards.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool.
That's your next project. Actually.
I think active we links. Stumbled. Yes. We might have stumbled
you
on.
Click
something.
On it. And it's like, welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess.
And for those of you listening, Ashley's trademarked that. So
yeah.
And tonight we're talking about jerk relatives, how to deal with them, and how not to deal with them. No, I'm just kidding.
A gift custom made for you.
A gift that just keeps on giving. So I think Dean Max brought up a good point, and I thought it was pretty funny when I was talking about like teachers that don't like to teach. And I think that sometimes teachers get in it and then it changes. But I think, you know, sometimes they don't like the students. And I remember I was talking to a real estate agent friend of mine the other day, and he said, "Hey, I don't like people." And I was like, wow, that's a difficult job to deal in real estate, and you don't like people. And they were very, very serious and matter of fact, actually. And I think that that's interesting that Dean loves to cook so much. Yeah. That to me, I would definitely like to be at a restaurant like that.
But it's, go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, Ashley, I can understand where your real estate friend is coming from because, you know, being in the insurance business for almost 12 years, I got to where I didn't like people either. And that's why I changed professions. So I look at a guy like Dean, yeah. And I was just kind of sitting behind the glass here tonight, just eating it up. No pun intended.
He brought no food.
That was a pun intended.
Hey, I was going to say, he should have brought samples.
He should have brought food.
Should have brought samples.
Somebody go grab Dean.
Yeah. Go find him.
Whip something up, Dean.
Go find him. We'll go find him. So let's talk about how do we jumpstart our purpose for everybody that's listening tonight. You know, I think that's a big deal because you can listen to Dean talk all you want. You can listen to me. You can listen to Eric. You can listen to Bill talk all they want. But it's about your purpose, not about ours. So how do you jumpstart it? And I think the first thing you want to do is you got to figure out what you love. And is it feasible? Is what you love doing, is it a feasible option?
Yeah, I think Dean hit it. In his example, he talked about his early childhood and just loving being with his mother and being at the farm, being around food. And so he had that in his subconscious, you know. And so when he consciously accepted that as his purpose, I think, you know, everything, there was a rhythm to it. So, yeah, find out what you love. What brings you joy? And oftentimes in our society, we start from the other way. What brings you riches? And oftentimes that's the wrong way to start.
Absolutely.
Start from what do you love? What brings you joy first?
I mean, you've heard the old saying, find what you love to do and find a way to get paid to do it, right? And that's what I'm following in my own life. And I think you should realize that in today's society, you know, what you love to do may not be, quote unquote, materially, you know, valuable. In other words, you might not, you know, quote unquote, get rich doing it. At the same time, doing what you love brings you spiritual wealth and mental wealth and emotional wealth. And so, you know, just realize that you're going to have to make priorities, yeah, and decisions and even sacrifices. You may not be able to have, you know, a cool car or the 3 or 4 bedroom house in the suburbs with the white picket fence.
Yeah.
But if you're doing what you love to do, then that's going to outweigh everything else.
And that can sometimes bring riches too, but start from that place.
Yes.
And trust that journey and trust your instincts and trust where your subconscious as well as your conscience is driving you. And good things are inevitably going to result from that, I think.
Well, you know, I always say if you're living clean, you know, things seem to work out. And I know that sounds kind of wild for people, but, you know, I've realized that synchronicity is all about realizing when you're in the right place at the right time, is about being in the actual rhythm and the flow of life. And once you get there, you get it. And all I can say to everybody listening tonight when they're trying to ask, how do you get there, is you got to be able to be honest with yourself. You got to be able to see what you like to do. You got to get past everything, all the hangups. You can't have any addictions really going into this. And you got to overweigh those addictions with what you want to do to be happy, because I think a lot of us hold back and hold on to things that aren't working in our lives because we're used to it.
Yep.
And you know, quite honestly, it gives us this dimension of drama, and it gives us something that we, you know, we can actually blame. You know, if it wasn't for the alcohol, I could do it. You know, if it wasn't for this, I could do it. And I think a lot of times we blame the crutches that we give ourselves. We actually put that crutch on and said, I'm going to walk with this crutch and I'm going to use this for the rest of my life. And so I think you have to kind of back away from that. And that goes into my second comment about how to jumpstart your purpose is what? To stop making excuses. Stop making them. The excuse factor, I mean, you can come up with an excuse every day and twice on Sunday for why you can't do something. And God bless, I've heard some of the craziest, most interesting excuses known to man.
You remember on past episodes where I've talked about the former coworker from hell?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, bless this lady's heart, she had an excuse for the reason why she made excuses. And you couldn't, she was so thin-skinned and so emotionally brittle that you couldn't offer her any constructive feedback at all, or say that she didn't do anything right, because she would fall apart. And then she, you know, and I do this because of this, and I don't do that because of this, and, you know, bringing up, you know, things that happened to her, all going all the way back to her childhood, right? And it was just so frustrating to work with her. I mean, that kind of person just sucks the energy out of the room.
Yeah. Have you ever been around somebody, Bill, who when they're making the excuse, or Ashley, when they're making the excuse, they don't even believe the excuse, and you can see it on their face?
Every day.
Yeah. You know? Yes.
Every day. Yeah, I like it when they start laughing and looking at you, and you go, really? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You know? I mean, you know, and it's such a lame excuse. I mean, it's like, it's funny. It gets kind of, it's comical sometimes, but then there becomes a time in people's lives where it becomes sad. You know, because I think it's almost like from crutches to cane, right? I mean, wow. Like, think about the crutches to cane. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, that's nice. You just came up with that?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
good.
That was
awesome. Yeah,
you gotta love live radio.
And live radio is live. So think about if you have that crutch right now that you've been carrying around with you, are you going to let that become a cane in your life? Is it going to be from a funny story, like I fell off a ski lift story, to I can't walk, I have to use this cane my whole life because I'm holding on to this crutch for dear life, because if I let go of this crutch and I stop making excuses, I got to look at myself and say, why haven't I done this? Why am I still waiting? Right? Yeah. Why am I still standing here waiting, saying, no, it's not going to work for me. No, the world's against me. I'm an unlucky person, and I'm never lucky, and I never have any luck, and nothing's ever going to go my way. And there's so many people that think that way on a daily basis. They think their way out of success. They think their way out of doing what they love, because they constantly say, I can never do that.
Yeah, no, I agree, Ashley. And, you know, for a lot of listeners out there, you know, I played NCAA football, collegiate football, at a very high level. And you know, I had, and you talk about excuses and crutches and going from crutch to cane. And my college career ended because of a shoulder injury. I had reconstructive shoulder surgery. And, you know, I could have used that as a crutch. I saw other players who were injured and they used that as a crutch, and eventually to a cane, and eventually to a wheelchair, and eventually, you know, to a sick bed. But, you know, I went through a period of being depressed and being upset and wanting to use that as an excuse for my unhappiness. But when I look back and when I broke through all of that, I realized that it opened up a new door. It brought the reality of the potential fullness of my life to me sooner rather than later. Now, if I had probably gone to the NFL and played, that would have been delayed. And so it probably was a blessing, because I probably would not have been the best person to be around, being a millionaire at 20 something years old. I wasn't ready. I was immature. And I was in the wrong state of mind. So yeah, I get it. I mean, it makes sense. So let's not, you know, excuses. Come on now, you know, let's move on.
I agree with that. And last but not least, you know, just jump in.
Jump in.
Don't wait. and stop thinking so much. Yep. You know, a lot of times we think our way right out of the scenario. I mean, if you analyze everything up and down and all around, you're going to be out of it. So stop thinking so much. Get out of your mind. Stop the constant chatter of how you're not good enough. You'll never amount to anything. This is never going to work. And let it go and just jump in, because guess what? The water's warm and we got a glass of perspective for you. So next week, we got a great show for you. And in the meantime, jumpstart your perspective. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in three shakes.